Yeah, what up? Yeah, what's happening, man? Hey, it is the last pod of 2024.
Yeah.
The very last one, at least from this dynamic duo here, as we talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. Man, what a year in wrestling it has been. You could take that as a positive or a negative, depending on who you are. But nothing should distract you from the fact that this is the first Black Champ podcast. And as we gear up for 2025, we want you to know that I am still your podcast Intercontinental Champion, Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to Barber's Chair Network, home of FBC. Make sure you follow us on everything at the FBC Pod. Go ahead and get your merch. It's linked in the bio. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, Camp, and to everybody who's listening to the show, everybody who joins us on the streams and all of that. Happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah. May the miracles keep bringing happy holidays to you. Hey, a little Bing Crosby there for y'all.
Man, I realized when you said that this is like the first year, or the majority of the year, this is like the first year without wrestling with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it's eerie, but at the same time, low-key, it's promising.
Yeah. Yeah, it's promising. And we're going to get into all of that as we talk about, you know, stuff that we've seen in 2024. Shouts out to my man, Brando. He, along with a number of writers, contributed to ESPN's Best of 2024 list that we're going to talk about. But we're going to go ahead and get started with Netflix Mania heating up.
Yeah.
Monday is the last Raw on the USA Network. It's not the last wrestling program. Yes. Because SmackDown is going to USA for 3 hours, three-hour program. But it is the last of a legacy. Raw has only been on USA and the Nashville Network or TNN for its existence. Now it's going to the streamer Netflix. And shouts out to Netflix, because niggas was worried during the Mike Tyson fight. Like, if you watched the Mike Tyson fight on Netflix, you was like, so we're all supposed to be coming over in all these glitches and shit. But then they had football, they had NFL on Christmas, football and Beyonce, you know, Beyonce. That went good.
That went super good.
Super good. Look crisp and crisp. That screen was crisp and clear. And on January 6th, wild as hell, just thinking about it. January 6th, not only do we celebrate the anniversary of the insurrection, we celebrate Raw on Netflix.
Yeah, which many of them probably watch.
Yeah.
Every year.
You got Netflix, you got your Netflix account back up.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know, even though I have no plans to go on MAGA but I will say that I made up in my mind that, yeah, gonna purchase Netflix. Haven't had it since my free trial ran out in like 06.
Damn.
What? Yeah. Hey, once that went out, like, because obviously when they were doing the DVDs, we on deck. But then when they switched it to the accounts, I tried the free joint, but I was like, yo, I don't really be here enough to watch this and buy cable. So I was like, man, fuck all that. And low key, I think my wife already got an account. I might not pay nothing.
Exactly.
Which is even better. Shouts out to marriage. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, with no thanks to Hulu, which I might get rid of on some other shit.
Yeah.
But because they falling off the fucking map right
they
now.
They are.
But
Hulu lucky they got the bundle with ESPN and Disney.
Yeah, but shit, ain't nobody that's in spurts. Like, even Layla ain't watching as many Disney movies as she was. I'm like, all right, man, come on, man. So I might be getting rid of Hulu and the bundle, even though I thought I needed it at one point, because they stopped showing Raw and SmackDown like months ago. And it just ain't been a lot of other stuff. Dark Side of the Ring, I gotta pay $80 to see it in time, so I just buy it on YouTube, and that's cheaper. Yeah. So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, a tidbit for anybody that might want to see Dark Side of the Ring in real time. You ain't got to pay like the $80 on Hulu. You can buy that hole for $20 on YouTube. And you're gonna see them weekly as they drop.
And YouTube too. So. I know YouTube Premium went up like to $83, $84. I was like, I was just about to switch, and then that shit happened. I was like,
yeah, facts. I don't know what they're doing, but we're gonna retool. We're gonna retool and refinance. But yes, you know, I think hey, look, even back, it's been about 5 or 6 years now when the WWE Network first dropped, and we were like, look. Don't care the price, we paying that, and we moving forward with it. This is just like that for me. Listen, not getting rid of Peacock, and unless the WWE contact is going to move, and get Netflix, because I do want to see Raw every Monday.
Yeah, and I got to do something because I'm figuring out that I am watching less and less like a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like ESPN, Red Zone. And you know the season's about to be over for that shit. And Netflix, like I don't watch cable.
Yeah.
Like I watch ESPN and ESPN2. I don't watch cable.
Right.
Like all of that stuff. So I gotta figure some shit out because when Russ like get Sling for 50, okay.
Yeah. Somebody was trying to put me up on Sling too for the 50 piece. Now, hey, now Russ, now does that have the 12 channels I need though? Like
right. That's how they be getting you. It be the channels you need that they just put that bitch in the other one. You're like, God damn.
Yeah, right. It's like, yo, like if that don't come with like USA, ESPN, ABC, NBC,
not
CNBC for me. And like
yeah, I find myself like CNN and looking at some of the like them shits too.
Like I need the informative shit. Like I don't need like don't give me HGTV. I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't need it. I don't want it. As much money that I'm spent, right? I don't want it. Fuck it. Like I need the Bob Vila books.
I bet. Hey, right.
Remember Bob Vila books?
Hell yeah, Bob Vila was the man.
That's when you know you old, nigga. If for those little niggas who don't know, like Bob Vila and them had books, and you could just read the book to know how you can like. Fix a drain, paint a fence, fix an electrical unit. Like what? Yeah. Like, damn!
You want to rewire your unit so that you're that you can get that half bathroom?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila.
And them books was thick as hell too. Like them books was like a steel chair hitting you over the back.
Yeah.
Hey, man, like
the king of DIY, man. Shout out to Bob Vila, man.
Yeah,
king of DIY, man.
Like that and Encyclopedia Britannicas and all that shit. They ain't got none of that shit no more.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow, I'm gonna check that Sling joint out though, Russ. Though,
yeah.
Because we've been flirting with that idea for a minute. So for the 50 piece, and I can look at certain packages. I already know what channels I'm looking for, so I'll do that. And I'm definitely getting rid of a Hulu and something else because I haven't even been watching the docs like that on there anymore. Unfortunately,
now on Netflix, I did just watch the Aaron Rodgers documentary.
See that shit.
He don't like that nigga, first of all. Let me say, he, of course, his reasons I don't like this nigga. If this nigga was more likable, that documentary would have made me a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. But I still don't like this nigga. But he makes Aaron Rodgers make me want to go on an ayahuasca trip.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I said that shit right, but but you know what I'm talking about.
Ayahuasca. Like, I think so.
Yeah, like him, Adrian Colbert, who plays for the Bears, Jordan Poyer, who played for the Bengals, like they showed them on the ayahuasca retreat, and it's not like I'm on the quest to find myself. Like talking to my therapist, she put me onto some things, and I was like, damn, I ain't really realized that shit. I gotta find me. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact. We had a conversation enough where part of this conversation this week was you and how you cussed me out because I don't do music no more. I don't do music no more. Sure. You cussed me out. And I had told her that you cussed me out and shit. And she was like, why? And then when we came to an understanding of why, she's like, yeah, he can't cuss you out no more. Or you ain't gonna. I was like, you're right.
Well, invite me to the session.
I'll tell you after the show. But however, like I was looking, I was like, man, that ayahuasca trip seems like, you know, like it's like mushrooms on steroids. So I really be like, okay, fine. Come out. You might shit on yourself.
Oh, man.
You might throw up during the trip.
Jesus.
Like, but you come out of it and it's like, damn, all right, shit. You is apparently it's almost like Black Panther when like nigga die and then you talk to somebody on the other side, like you just be
all of a sudden I got you.
I wouldn't mind throwing up or sitting on myself to find myself at this point in the control situation.
I mean, hey, certain things have happened, I guess.
Yeah. Well, not to me, all right? You know, shouts out to Ray at Shrine.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Anything is possible.
I figure it out. And I think wrestling may have had an ayahuasca trip in 2024, at least before 2024 started. Now, remember... Yeah. We started to hear the rumblings about Vince McMahon selling the WWE in 2022. In 2023, things start to happen. He gets sued, and then he sells all of his shares, and he's no longer a part of TKO. It's been the Triple H era. Let's say since WrestleMania. Because at WrestleMania, that's when motherfuckers was just, hey! Stephanie McMahon music comes on. Like, this is the Triple H era. Like, they made it known by WrestleMania 40. Yep. This is Triple H's show. Now, of course, you have The Rock getting involved. He's on the board of directors and stuff. But between that and AEW and the working relationship between TNA and WWE and a lot of wrestlers going to different places and things of that nature. Wrestling probably is at the best it's been product-wise for quite some time. And when it comes to popularity, it is more popular than ever before. Like, it's not been this popular, in my opinion, since the Attitude Era. Are back and loving it. And now, apparently, reportedly, allegedly, we'll see what happens because, you know, things change. Cars subject to change in wrestling. But even to the point where John Cena, when he goes on this farewell tour, he's full-time.
Yeah.
He's not a part-timer. Yeah. We got Roman Reigns and CM Punk's back in the WWE. Yes, and Rollins. You got Swerve Strickland, who was the first black heavyweight champion in AEW history. And you had Ricochet changing. And and you have Jordan Grace and Joe Hendry showing up on WWE programming. The Radicals reforming and showing up together on WWE and TNA programming. Wrestlers from the WWE going to TNA. You got John Bradshaw Layfield just clotheslining from hell people in different organizations. You have the WWID program. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, and we're going to try to put a bow on all of this. But going to Netflix, the biggest thing in wrestling, and quite honestly, from a programming standpoint, quite possibly the biggest thing that's happened in wrestling, maybe since Raw going to USA Network, is Raw going to Netflix, streamer, and being with a $1 billion deal, basically, and all of that stuff. So real quick, the added matches, because the only match we was able to talk about when we last did the show was Roman Reigns and Solo for the Ulafala, and reportedly, allegedly, it might be a belt involved. Don't, please.
That's doing way too much.
Way too much. Like, just, no, put the delay on the nigga neck, all right?
Right.
But Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley in the Last Woman Standing match, and CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. So everybody keeps saying that this is supposed to be a WrestleMania-adjacent event, which says a lot. So what do you think about the new additions, and what are your expectations of the first Raw on Netflix?
Well, man, well, I do like the additions because at least they're sticking to their script that they wrote, right? They said that this is going to be WrestleMania level. It's Raw on Netflix, and this is the new, you know, era. This is the new regime. This is, you know, bigger, badder, better. You know, all of the Vince McMahon promo all wrapped up into one, and for one night to kick off the rest of the year and, for the most part, the rest of, I guess, existence, at least for the time being. I don't know how many years the Netflix contract is set up for, but I like it. It's in the right direction. However, that's far too less matches for it to be a 3-hour program. And I am here to tell you, I want to see all three of these matches. But if you're about to tell me that all three of these matches are going to be 30 minutes or more, I'm out. I'm out. You better get about 3 more minimum, and then like, okay, so they're all gonna be about 20-25, but right now this ain't enough, Bang. This is 1 hour or an hour and a half with segments and commercials. Well, it won't be on commercials, right?
It will be commercials.
Oh yeah, we gotta pay the bills. So but yeah, this sounds like an hour and a half show for me, so I need to hear a little more. But they are in the right direction, and can't be mad at it one bit.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be way more than that. I would have put Cody versus Kevin on here, but they're saving that for something else we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, it's definitely going to be – we're not going to get these three matches in the conversation and some promos and stuff. I do think we're going to get some special appearances. I think there's going to be some shocking moments. You know, I can expect other titles to be on the line or appearances. Like, if Gunther's not wrestling on this card, then something's wrong.
Yeah, come on.
If the Judgment Day,
second hour, if anything, yeah, not at the closing the show.
Yeah, if Bron Breakker's not defending his Intercontinental Championship against somebody, then something's wrong. If War Raiders, it's not defending their tag team championships, then something is wrong. If we don't get a Judgment Day split or something like that, then like something is wrong, because a lot of things are being teased. I'm on record to saying that this feels like it's going to be a big year for Finn Balor, and maybe it starts at the first Raw on Netflix. But we'll see. I don't want to go out the box and be like, yo, what are your expectations on Raw on Netflix? Like, they're still going to be PG.
Yeah.
And it's still going to come on every Monday. One thing that I heard that I hope that happens low key is, because I don't want to go online and see goddamn, spoilers, because they did the show from Turkey or some shit. But they said if that motherfucker airs, it's gonna air. You can just catch the replay. It's gonna air live. So I want to see stuff like that. Outside of that, I mean, I expect us to get the same old show, but a crisp screen.
Yeah. Hey, you know, expectations. And you know what? I do want to say this, because I'm trying to calibrate correctly, you know, because looking back, the first Raw ever wasn't the greatest thing we ever seen in life.
Hell no. It was with the Manhattan Center and
right. But I was geek, though. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, oh, wow, okay, so this is what, you know, wrestling is going to be like for me now. No more primetime wrestling. I was hurt. But when you see the Raw product, I'm like, okay, all right, well, let's see it. I see wrestling now. You know, no more Bobby and Gorilla going crazy. But hey, whatever. As we move this programming, always been on USA to Netflix. It's you know, I mean, nostalgia is nostalgia, right? But I haven't had cable in years, so I can't even act like I'm so like hurt by that. This is actually a great opportunity for me to watch it. So, for me, I think you know, as some of the white homies say, just don't blow your whole load, and then we got 51 more episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Booyah.
like, set the bar, set the standard, But if this is the best Raw we get to the Raw after Mania, then I don't know. This is all I'm saying.
Yeah, like don't you hit the nail on the head. Don't blow your load. Like, don't give us so much. Matter of fact, I'll put it like this. Like, remember when Main Event came and they had the standalone show and you had all of those people like come on, and then like 3 weeks later, it was like Shelton Benjamin versus a jobber.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't want that. I don't want that for us. Like, I don't want WrestleMania adjacent.
Facts. Hey,
I don't even want that.
I don't even want Fastlane adjacent for Raw, to be honest with you. I just want Raw to be Raw. Again, man, obviously, we grew up spoiled, obviously, in a great time of wrestling, because we watched it from the 80s to the 90s. And then we got the Attitude Era. And I'm not saying we got to recapture that, but you know, there was something about every segment, though. You know, it for the surface level fans, it was all about Rock, Stone Cold, and you know, Mr. McMahon. But you know, the hidden gems in Raw were the Godfather, were Val Venus, were you know, TNA, the tag team with Trish Stratus, triple entendre there. Ask me how. And just those other moments, like the New Age Outlaws, just them building their team to beat the Legion of Doom for the tag titles. That was a story in itself. You didn't need, like, we got Stone Cold on top of that. Those are still a great moments in Raw. And I want people to be cognizant of that. Like, yo, everybody ain't going to get their beer truck moment. Everybody ain't going to get their four-wheeler slapping the CEO in the nuts and hitting them with the stunner moment. But there's so many other great moments on Monday Night Raw that has existed just over the last, 30 years, that you don't have to go for broke every single time on the main event tip. You know what I mean? Like, and I just hope that's kept in mind as this first Raw happens and y'all realize y'all got 51 more. And, yeah. And no more dog shows being ruining Raw or anything else for USA. Hey.
Yeah. I don't want that at all. Please don't give us too much. And then the next week come and you give us fucking Braun Strowman versus me. Like, don't do that, y'all. Like, I want y'all to make a big splash.
Yeah,
but make this big splash something that teases us.
Yeah.
Like, for example, on the first SmackDown where you had Triple H versus The Rock and Shawn Michaels super kicking The Rock when he's about to do the people's elbow and Triple H pinning him. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, but don't give us a whole bunch of matches that's just not going to hold up the next week. Make it something that's going to be like, all right, this is a whole new era. Like, that's what I want. You know what I want to see, Camp?
Yeah.
Outside of the wrestling, and I know Lee Fitting has come under scrutiny because it was officially announced why him and ESPN parted ways. But this is his show now. Mm. Like, this is his show. I want to see how the presentation looks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how everything from the screen to the font. I want to see how these packages pause look. I want to see how everything looks on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the same show that you see on USA presentation-wise on Netflix.
I'm with you.
Because when I looked at Netflix, the NFL games on Christmas, I ain't gonna front. I was like, shit, I don't mind if Netflix got a couple more of these NFL games.
Yeah.
That shit look good.
Yeah, that shit and, like the EA Sports intros.
Man, like, that shit looked crisp though. And amazing. And I like what Amazon is doing with Thursday Night Football. The games might be huff. But I like the presentation.
Yeah, the sell. Yeah, the sell, though. It make you want to watch, though.
Yeah. So I want to see what they bring to the table there. The product, the wrestling product, could take care of itself. It ain't going to be no new moves just because they on Netflix, y'all.
Hey, right.
But I want to see how the product looks on Netflix as opposed to on anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is going to make the biggest difference between the streamer, network television, cable television. Let's move on real quick because they kind of like threw in the towel this week. And maybe because it's Christmas. So yeah, we'll give them that. And then we go into the holiday season. I know some things are taped and all this stuff. I get it. And then you get, hey, USA, you're going to get that good shit next Friday. And because it's going to be last show ever. Well, the last, you know, we're going to figure this shit out. Now we it's going to be 3 hours. So now we're going to figure this shit out. But
right.
Raw, we, you know, we, you can't get the good shit now.
Yeah.
So just note that. So I think they kind of like, you know, I just throw in the towel. I guess I don't know what's supposed to happen tomorrow, but they better show some of the best moments on USA Network. But even still, don't show a whole bunch, but we'll figure it out. But at least on SmackDown, we got some good news. Or I don't know. I don't know. So Kevin Owens has been walking around with the Winged Eagle belt since Saturday night's main event. And I got some thoughts on that, which I'll talk about in a minute. But Cody Rhodes is still a champion, of course. And it was announced on SmackDown that Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens in a ladder match. For the WWE Undisputed title. So, of course, they're going to put both belts. Or as I think is saw something online, rumor and innuendo is they're going to remake to possibly remake that belt and have it as a Winged Eagle version, a new version of the Winged Eagle belt or some shit like that. Either way I go, they're going to put both of them belts or one belt at the top, and Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes is going to fight in the ladder match. I don't remember the last time I saw Cody Rhodes in the ladder match. Outside of a
like Money in the Bank.
And Kevin Owens either. So I was kind of surprised. But I mean, I was not surprised because, you know, you put the two belts, go get them bitches. But still, I was kind of surprised. Like, yo, a ladder match for these two? What was your thoughts on first of all, this match being announced at Royal Rumble and the match itself?
For me, with it being the Royal Rumble, that means that they really are trying to end it this time. You know, even though he down 0-2. But at least they are given Kevin Owens one of the marquee premium live events. And I think that's important. Like, I don't know how people watch wrestling, right? But I just remember a lot of people just back in the day talking about how, yo, you know, Hulk Hogan on the bill, that's a great thing. Because if Hulk Hogan's on the bill, that means the money going up. That means my 500 is like 5,000 tonight. You know what I'm saying? So I look at that and, you know, because prize fighter Kevin Owens is always a thing for me, you know, and I know Saudi Mania, that's important. And I know Saturday night's main event, that was important. But there is a level of significance. There is a bar that is raised when you are fighting for or defending the world title, the WWF or WWE world title at a Royal Rumble, at a WrestleMania, at a SummerSlam, and at a Survivor Series. That is how we were raised. That is what it is. So for me, I love it because, spoiler alert, my prediction, I would love for Kevin Owens to lose the series, but leave with the belt at the Royal Rumble, even though that doesn't make any sense if you're counting, but at least they get a really great ladder match opportunity at one of the most historied and prestigious PLEs for the company.
Yeah, and G-Russ, I forgot about AEW. We're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, too. Yeah, for sure. We got
it. I forgot about Cody and AEW. That shit seems like a distant memory. It seems like it never happened. And that says a lot.
Yeah.
I don't like this. I don't like Kevin Owens versus Cody Rhodes at the Royal Rumble. Because as Russ just said, it feel like they always book Kevin Owens in main events. Like it's like Kevin Owens Royal Rumble, like him and Roman Reigns 1 year. Him and Seth wrestled 1 year. Like they always put him in the main event or in a match at the Royal Rumble. And I don't like it. Because the Royal Rumble is like you're destined to lose.
Yeah, it does suck. That part does suck.
So it's like I want to keep up with my guarantee that Kevin Owens is going to win this bitch. But history shows us that ain't going to be that. Like, could he win and then drop it at Elimination Chamber? Cool, I'm with that. Transitional champion type shit. Mm-hmm. But nah, I'm upset because I really truly believe that Kevin Owens deserves to have the belt around it in this case. I ain't saying go to WrestleMania. I'm just saying that he deserves to take that belt and hold it and boom, boom, boom. It's actually why I'm so upset about Saturday night's main event. Mm. Like, I think a lot of people, so I think I read somewhere that the ratings wasn't what they wanted for Saturday night's main event. And part of it was, did you really think Cody Rhodes was going to lose that bitch?
Yeah, see.
Like when you look, let's look at main event one and main event two and why I think this is important right here, why this matches up with this Royal Rumble thing. You wanted to see Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Mm-hmm. That's boom. You did not expect Hulk Hogan to lose.
Right.
But you wanted to see that shit. And then when you saw it, it was like, yo, I can't believe I saw that shit. You knew Macho Man was going to turn on Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. You knew that shit was coming. And you figured that was the perfect time and you wanted to see it. What messes up wrestling and special programming, which I agree with a little bit of what you had said the last time we recorded about, see, like, what's the fucking point? that's what I agree. It has to be a point. You can't put the moment on social media for Saturday night's main event or main event. You can't put that moment on social media because if that was the case, you should have made that bitch a house show and then was like, yo, look what happened. Right. I think the WWE did themselves a disservice by not really putting the fear that Cody Rhodes might lose this bitch and him losing it.
Yeah.
Like, and losing it. And I believe the overarching thing about wrestling is no matter where you watch it, the reason why you watch it, it has to be that. Mm-hmm. So when you look at Saturday Night's main event and you look at social, the main reason why you look at social is to see what you missed. Mm-hmm. But then if that shit happened during the taping, oh man, I can't believe I missed that shit.
Right.
I'm going to watch it next time. If you're going to treat Saturday night's main event like a house show, there's no point of watching it live. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's worked in broadcasting for 15 years at this point, there has to be a reason of the draw. And the draw just can't be this person is going to be here. Yep. The draw has to be, yo, motherfucker might not walk out.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think that the WWE did a good job at making us believe that he might not walk out the champ.
Yeah.
However, for the Royal Rumble, you don't have to do that because the draw is the Royal Rumble. That's the draw. So it's like, okay, no matter what happens, we're going to find out who's going to be wrestling one of these niggas in a couple of months. Who wins this? So that's why you could put Brock Lesnar versus Hardcore Holly in a match. Hardcore Holly ain't beating Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Who gonna wrestle Brock Lesnar is what I give a fuck about. And I think even just talking about Netflix, Netflix thing, I hope that they do. I think for Roman and Solo, Solo has went over enough to make us go, hey, man, Roman might not walk out this bitch. And then there's the whole thing about The Rock, and The Rock got to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Because my guarantee is still Roman wins the Ulafala, but then The Rock come out and be like you see a new Titantron that says High Chief.
Instead of Final Boss.
Instead of Final Boss, it says High Chief. Now I'm my granddaddy. Mm-hmm. You can be the tribal chief all you want to, but I'm the High Chief.
Yeah.
And it even has his High Chief name on there. And I can even see in The Rock say, don't call me Dwayne. Don't call me The Rock. Mm-hmm. Call me by this name. And motherfuckers keep saying, Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks. Rocky sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see all of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Liv Morgan losing the belt to Tiffany Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
We have our predictions next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see that happening. CM Punk, Seth Rollins, I can see that being a no contest.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see them fight. I want to see, it's a last woman standing match. That's a clear cut way of saying it might be a cash in.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when her boyfriend is on what show? Raw.
Raw. Mm-hmm.
And you want to see The Rock and Solo. Well, Roman and Solo, because The Rock might pop up.
Mm-hmm.
There's anticipation. And there's other things that make you go, hey, you got to watch this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Give it time. I'm going to give it time because the show just got announced. But historically, ain't the title not changing hands at the Royal Rumble. So yeah. Why do I give a fuck? Because the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. No, hey, and again, hey, look, he already down 2-0. That's why I'm tripping about it. But, you know, maybe they're going to end up doing a best of five. I don't know. Do I want to see that? Probably not. But, I mean, hey, look, if they're going to give Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes that much burn, you can't disagree that. They could do it with KO and Cody if they really wanted to.
Yeah. So other things that we might find out on Raw or the first SmackDown, 3-hour SmackDown is, and this is still a thing, y'all, who jumped Jay Cargill? Nia Jax was like, no. It wasn't me, bitch. It might have been your ass. Who needs to have jumped Jade Cargill?
Who needs to? Naomi.
Mm.
Naomi needs to, because you think about it like this. You know, at one point we were at Naomi deserves better, right? That's the IWC was going crazy over that. And you know, when you run Naomi's resume, she literally is one of the absolute greatest women wrestlers, period, of this era. Like, if you really ran her resume, she's done literally everything, I think, at this point now. She hasn't won Money in the Bank and cashed in. But she's been on the biggest stages. She's taken the dubs and the L's. And Jade Cargill coming in. And even though Naomi, I don't think, was back yet, there's always the storyline of like, oh, so y'all just going to move her right next to Bianca. Like, I ain't me. Like, here's another girl y'all putting up above me. You've done it with Alexa Bliss. You've done it with Liv. You've done it with all these girls. I smoke all these chicks. But I feel a way about this one. And, you know, even though I don't think she gonna tear it down in the sub, it's like, yo, this girl can't lace my boots right now. Y'all talking about she about to be the champ. Y'all want to see her versus Bianca at WrestleMania for the title. Like, nah, we not doing none of that. We not doing none of that. So for me, for the most compelling storyline, I think it should be on Naomi, but at the same time, and I think this is me sticking to my original script. I mean, I think there's still room for Bailey because that's the education she needs. So in order for me, I got Naomi one, but I can see Bailey because that's long-term storytelling with either woman, with Bianca Belair still in the mix.
I get it, but I disagree. I get it, though. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be Bianca Belair. In order to get Bianca Belair to where she needs to be, especially in the world that you have talked about, mm-hmm. post Four Horsewomen, mm-hmm. in order for that to happen, it had to be her.
Mm.
I don't think people really real, or let me rephrase that. I don't think people saw heel Bianca Belair.
True.
Heel Bianca Belair is the best version of Bianca Belair, in my opinion.
Mm.
With Jade Cargill, with her moveset, she could be John Cena.
For sure.
She could give you the five moves of doom.
For sure.
Bianca don't have to be that. Bianca could give you much, much more.
Yeah.
And I believe that Bianca would even be a cooler heel because that's what she was in NXT in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't want to see face Bianca no more. I don't want to see smiling Bianca no more. And it's bad probably to say this because she's a black woman. But fuck this shit. This is wrestling. This is wrestling. I think that the WWE is currently right now, when it comes to the women and the potential at Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, WrestleMania 6.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, I don't think Bianca Belair is going anywhere anytime soon. And I also believe that because it's still Bianca Belair, she could be a heel and people will still love her because they will love to boo her.
For sure. You're gonna get great work from Bianca no matter what happens.
Great work. And don't get me wrong, I think from a boost standpoint, yeah, it could be Naomi. But then when you do it, then everybody's going to be saying, now Naomi got to be a part of the bloodline. And Naomi got to do... No. No. If you do that with Bianca Belair, to me, you don't lose anything for two reasons. One, who's the better talker? Jade or Bianca?
Bianca. No question.
Who's the better worker? Jade or Bianca?
Bianca, no question.
That's the person you need as the heel.
Yeah, facts.
That's the person.
Oh, that's right.
And Bianca could literally say, I've been in this bitch this whole time putting y'all on my back, and this bitch was at the other place
mm-hmm.
stinking up the joint. And y'all got her tagging with me and do it. She talker wins.
Yeah, for sure.
Jade Talker needs a manager in the WWE.
Yeah.
So unless you're about to tell me that she's about to get a Paul Heyman, I don't want Jade talking. And Brando, no. I thought about it. And I saw where you were going with this, but mm-hmm. the reason why I won't say Jade Hogan is because Jade, even though I say traditionally, mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan has been a heel.
Right.
Jade ain't did shit.
Yeah.
Yep. In the WWE, but win a tag title.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate Warrior already had solo success and was already slated to replace Hulk Hogan. And when it comes to limited move sets, Ultimate Warrior got a way more limited move set than Hulk Hogan, y'all.
Wildly enough.
So I thought about it very strongly, Brando, but not in this case. If you guys remember, and if he was telling the truth, Hulk Hogan wanted to turn heel against the Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. I think this is what you would have saw if you let Hulk Hogan go heel against the Ultimate Warrior. This is the person that y'all trying to replace me with.
Yeah.
And this ain't gonna happen. I'm still that bitch. And the one thing that I know is that in the WWE setting, I trust Bianca saying it and it ring true than Jay doing it, because Jay still got work to do.
Yeah.
And even when the Ultimate Warrior won it, we knew he still had work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bianca as the heel has to get over the face. Jade ain't getting over Bianca, y'all.
Right.
Because she's already there. It's Bianca's job to get over Jade.
Right.
Yeah. If it's anybody that's going to ensure that Jade gets over as a mega face, it is the mega heel in Bianca Belair. Naomi can't do that.
Right.
Bailey can't do that at this point of her career. Yeah. And no, the only other person who can do it is the person that I hope is not the person, and that is Charlotte Flair.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I got on Bianca and Nia Jax because they already planted that seed of the irresistible force versus immovable object type of deal. I think those are the two best heels to get her over with who we see currently. Because, hey, to your point, I don't think Charlotte is the one to get Jade over, because honestly, in my opinion, Jade is underdeveloped ring-wise Charlotte. Like, she performance center Charlotte. So I don't think that's going to help them at all. You got to, because you're right, you do have to build something for Jade, because people have made it clear they're going to cheer Jade regardless. They're going to cheer Jade because she looked like that. She has yet, like, the way wrestling has killed so many other women for performances that have been better than the ones we've seen from her. We shoot her so much bail, there's no need for probation ever. So we already know the fix is in. The people want to love Jade. And I think you're right. From a mass standpoint, people don't know what it's like to truly hate Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
Or so.
And you're not, and here's the
thing. You're not going to hate her either, though.
You're not, right. You're not going to hate her. When she's a heel, she's going to be so much cooler. We're going to be like, oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Boo. But yeah, that's that bitch. Boo. Boo. And if she goes here with a husband, oh, if both of them say fuck it together.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I don't think people really truly understand this. I'm about to give Bianca Belair her flowers to a point where Montez probably get mad at me for what I'm about to say. Bianca Belair got the ability to put two people over in one fell swoop. If she goes heel, she gonna put Jade over, and she gonna put her husband over, because it makes no sense that her husband is a face while she's a heel. That's the ability, and that's the aura around Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
If they put her heel, she has the ability to put her husband over as a heel with her and put Jade over as a face.
I want to piggyback off your point by making the point that we obviously got a cop to now. Had it not been for Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks does not headline at WrestleMania. That does not happen. And with all the accolades and everything that she wants to do and has been doing, she ain't got that.
Bingo.
She just don't have that. So, yeah, no.
I don't think people realize this, and I'm not saying this because she's black. I'm not saying this because she's a woman. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this because of the character, the athleticism, and the in-ring work. Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair is a key to a lot of shit that goes on in the WWE in 2025. Mm-hmm. Because again, if you're not familiar with Bianca Belair's heel work, go watch an episode of NXT, or go watch the Invasion, the NXT Invasion episode, or go watch the Royal Rumble, mm-hmm. where she was still an NXT wrestler. Mm-hmm. And we was like, yo, she's going to be a big star. Mm-hmm. As you just said, Sasha don't get what she got without Bianca. That was her John Cena moment. And she's been that for quite some time. But then you go watch John Cena talk to old dude Chris and how excited he was to turn heel in 2012, only to be like, we gonna do that. Right. They don't have to do it in this case.
Yeah.
Because she's a black woman, mm-hmm. being real, because of the aura that she still has, mm-hmm. people gonna love her like you loved the NWO.
Yeah. For sure. Like, and she'll never be a Patriot. Like,
yeah. Like
the real reason why John Cena couldn't turn heel in 2012 is like, but bro, you like the new Sergeant Slaughter. No.
And who, and again, who are you going to put over?
Yeah.
As they heal The Rock? Right. We don't do this for The Rock.
No,
we don't do this for The Rock. Jade Cargill, no matter how you think about her, she's still not over where you need her to be.
Yeah.
The only way you do that is by Bianca Belair getting her Rikishi on and saying, it was me. Deshaun Michaels' return does not work without Triple H saying, it was me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In order for Jade Cargill to get where y'all believe that she can get, mm-hmm. Bianca Belair has to say, it was me, because now we care about Jade. Mm-hmm. Now we worry about Jade, and how can you do what you did? Devon Erics, Freebirds. That is not one of the biggest rivalries of all time if Terry Gordy don't bash that man head in the cage.
Yeah.
They wanted to kill the Freebirds.
Yeah, and tried.
Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan does not get moon pushed to the stratosphere at this point. Now you're the biggest star in the world without Andre the Giant grabbing that chain and that shirt and saying, I want you at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Bianca Belair is the key to the WWE success in 2025. I stand on it because she's the one. She's the one, to me, that holds the key to a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Roman Reigns, Solo, Rock, they're all over. Mm-hmm. The only person that we can mention that is not over but has superstar potential is Jade Cargill. Mm-hmm. You need the superstar to get that person into that level. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan did that for the Ultimate Warrior. Now, here's the key to that. Will it work? Because the Ultimate Warrior tweaked, and Vince McMahon was like, oh, no, we gotta get the belt off this nigga.
Right.
And he lost to Sergeant fucking Slaughter. Mm-hmm. But we still got Macho Man Ultimate Warrior, one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. Mm-hmm. So for at least that spot right there, Bianca Belair holds a lot of keys.
For sure. And you know, and I think with time is the last thing I want to say about this. I think Bianca Belair is about to prove that she's going to do what we all thought the four horsewomen did. Because when you look back at it, and this is no disrespect to their work, no disrespect to their effort, because I do think if there is one person that has been vehemently making other women better in the division, it is Bayley. So I'm kind of excluding her from this, but the other three have just mastered getting themselves over. Like, and they got over on each other. Like, a lot of their moments whether they loved or hated each other, it's because they all wrestled each other. They won titles off of each other. Bianca Belair, in the past, 3 years now, for sure, has gotten a horsewoman over and gotten her a main event. She's gotten other people in the division over. I think we look at Rhea differently. I think we look at Nia differently and some of these other women differently because of the run that Bianca Belair went on. That first title reign when she was the longest reigning women's champion ever, like all of that. And then circle it back to lose. And then when we seen her lose in seconds to Becky Lynch, look what that did for Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And then for her to get it back and then lose it again or whatever. But the point is that Bianca Belair is a master at what she's doing. And she's been doing it as a face. Now, for her to do it as a heel, you're going to see a new superstar being developed because of it. And hey, and who knows, maybe three. Because there's a lot of women, like, we love them. And they're good, but they're not where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Bianca's going to be that reason.
But we're going to get into our 2025 thoughts a little bit later into the show. And I'm going to move this I'm going to move our Drew McIntyre topic because that ain't got to be long at all. I actually want to get to Brando. Those who have not seen this man right here, Brandon Caldwell, one of my former employees and now works at the Worldwide Leader Sports Entertainment. But also he writes from time to time, and ESPN dropped their 2024 wrestling awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brando might have listened to a little bit of what we said on First Black Champ and probably some of the threats that we've had. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the Women's Wrestler of the Year. And I believe that Brando wrote this one. Let me go just to make sure. Yes, he did. So I think that Brando, hold on my ass. I think Brando was like, yo, Bang, don't have me put this person up in here. He gonna threaten me. But the Women's Wrestler of the Year, it was a tie. If you've seen Squid Games, we know what happens when it comes to a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we had nobody break it. Roxanne Perez was named Women's Wrestler of the Year along with Toni Storm. What are your thoughts on those two women being named ESPN's Women's Wrestler of the Year?
I'm not upset at that. And actually, what I do want to say about this is that I think it's good for the women where they are for them to get that, because a lot of shit is low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah.
Like saying Rhea is low-hanging fruit in a year like this. I think Liv, that would have been a little just too controversial for the sake of being controversial, even though she's had a very like scorching hot year. But I do like, with the focus obviously being on the actual wrestling and the character development, I'll just say it like this. I'm cool with Toni Storm getting it, because for years I heard about how Toni Storm was supposed to be next, how she's supposed to be the greatest, how she's supposed to take over women's wrestling. And for one reason or another, that didn't happen. But I will say, without me consciously trying to watch AEW, I could not get away from Toni Storm. And I ain't even got cable.
Man.
So, I'm not mad at the pick at all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was a point, maybe 4 months, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, please, where the only thing happening in AEW was Toni Storm. That's how I remember 2024, from like June to like, no, I'm sorry, from like April to like July, if I got the timeline right. So Roxanne Perez, obviously, I mean, I haven't been as avidly watching NXT, but every time I see her on there, she's smoking shit. So, hey, no qualms with me over either of those picks.
Of course, no qualms for me, because I have sung the praises of Roxanne Perez. She has not had a bad match this year, ladies and gentlemen. She's been out here killing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have just gave it solo to Toni Storm. She carried AEW, fam. Timeless Tony. The Timeless Tony Storm gimmick was so good that now she's acting like none of that happened. She has amnesia, and she's back to being old, regular Tony Storm, and she just won her debut match at AEW. So she's put legs on a character that I didn't think had legs. Yeah. Like, she's really up in there like, yo, I'm all elite, and I'm so happy. And I'm like, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Like, it's fire. It's
right. Fire. Tony, I've always been a supporter of Tony Storm. I've always said it on this show. She's one of those people that left the E and went over to AEW. And she's, to me, she's one of the few that has shined in leaving. And she took on a character that a lot of people would have been like, get the fuck up out of here. She took that shit. And not only did she own it, not wearing and not doing that character, she's still owning that character by acting like she got amnesia. Tony Storm could damn near very well be my MVP of 2024. That's how good her year was.
Okay.
Men's Wrestler of the Year, according to ESPN. My man, the dude that y'all was pissed that he changed his name, not realizing that any name from a German or Austrian carries some weird shit behind it. Gunther. Our man Gunther was named Male Wrestler of the Year. I'll tell you right now, kicking it off, camp, I don't disagree with this shit at all. I think Gunther, if Gunther was English, like if he was American, Gunther would be the face of the WWE right now. That is how much I believe in him. If Gunther was American, Roman Reigns would not be the face of this company. For a couple of reasons.
Yeah. Right. You're not wrong.
But Gunther is Gunther right now, he's running shit, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to deny that, right? All I want to know, just as a question, how high was Bron Breakker on this list? I just want to know.
Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat, yeah. Brando.
You know what I'm saying? Because even though I do agree with the sentiments about Gunther 1,000%, so don't get me effed up on that. However, I think, personally, I think Gunther had a better 2023 wrestling year, and he had a better character year in 2024. So that's why I'm just like, oh, well, maybe me. Just say Bron Breakker for 2024 because I think hands down he was 2023.
Well, okay, it's a blind vote. Well, that's even great, okay. Better to know. But
okay,
I think the right award might be for Bron Breakker coming up. But Tag Team of the Year, Fraxham, Nathan Frazier, and Axum. I think overall this was a down year for tag team wrestling across the board. Think across the board in all wrestling, it was a down year. But Fraxham be killing that shit on NXT. Yeah. They be killing shit. So I ain't mad at that. Debut Wrestler of the Year. I bet you this blind vote was unanimous.
Yeah.
Jacob Fatu. There's... We ain't got to discuss shit else.
Yeah, there was no other answer.
There's no other answer. There's no other answer.
They should have fired y'all if y'all had a different answer.
Yeah. Hey, Brando, if y'all was looking at the votes, yeah, and anybody else put anybody name on that shit other than Jacob Fatu, somebody should have got a big boot to the face. Yeah, like
straight up.
Like dead ass. Let's see, that's the one that was unanimous.
There we go. Okay, look. I respect the panel right, because there was no other answer.
There's no other answer. Get the fuck up out of here. Like, anybody would say anything else. And what's crazy is if you listen to this pod, I at least have been saying, get that nigga to the E since I first saw him in MLW. Get him to the E. This is before y'all wanted every Samoan to be in the same group. Like, before. I've been saying it since he had a belly. Get that nigga. Get him over here. So this was unanimous for me for some years. Breakthrough Wrestler of the Year. This is where, when you say Bron Breakker's name, I could see him getting a vote.
Yeah.
And this one right here, the Breakthrough Wrestler of the Year, Swerve Strickland. Thoughts?
So, this is the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm not going to act like Swerve didn't do a lot of things that flat out, if he were white, we'd be saying that he's probably the greatest wrestler of all time right now. At least people in that lower age demo, right? But, you know, wrestling is wrestling. And great wrestling is great wrestling. And all that can be great. But it do matter where you do it. It do matter where you do it. I'm sorry. And when you look at what Bron Breakker had to fight through just to get in his spot, like, it's bigger than Cody, Roman, Gunther. He was under the tier that was Sammy, Jay, Bianca, Rhea, Dominic. He was under that too, though. You dig what I'm saying? So I think that sometimes you can get the ball and you can do what's expected, but the work does matter. And just because it's Swerve, and just because I actually like Swerve, I'm not gonna say like, oh man, he didn't deserve that shit. This is some bullshit. No, we're not gonna do none of that. We're not gonna do none of that because I love that he won this. I love that eyes are on him. But man, I think when you really look back at how Bron Breakker could have easily been Karrion Kross, but he ain't.
Yeah.
That matters to me.
Yeah, I'm conflicted. The reason why I wouldn't have gave it to Swerve is because of how it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to lose that bitch to Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
I don't think AEW put him in the position to really truly be Breakthrough. The moment for him was Breakthrough. But I don't think they put him in the position. I thought about Bron Breakker at this joint, but then I thought about Jey Uso. And even though he didn't win the biggest title, and even when he won the Intercontinental Championship, they dropped that bitch the next week later. That man was the most popular wrestler in the E, in my opinion.
Yes. Easily.
And to be honest, I still don't think they're doing him right. I'm with Rikishi on this one. Like, that, if you really want to know what I'm thinking, Jey Uso need to go up against Drew McIntyre. He needs to go over against Drew McIntyre.
Facts.
And Jey Uso needs to be going over a lot of other people. Jey Uso probably is the person that needs to take that belt off of Gunther. To me, Jey Uso having an Intercontinental Championship was beneath him. And that's how much I think about Jey Uso and why he is the Breakthrough Wrestler of 2024 for me. Best promo artist. This one surprised me a bit. I ain't mad at it, but he wasn't my first thought.
Really?
Drew McIntyre.
Okay.
Best promo artist. He wasn't my first thought.
Okay.
Punk was my first thought.
Really?
Yeah, Punk was my first thought. I don't know when this vote was done, but especially after he killed Seth Rollins' ass a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't want to vote, but now don't get me wrong. I wouldn't have put him on the best promo.
Okay.
But some of the best moments. Like, if there was a social award, he wins hands down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He got that one, too.
He had that one hands down. But promo, go ahead.
So, I'm actually 100% with them on this for 2024. And it probably ain't even the moment that all of y'all are thinking about. But to me, if the scales were totally even on whoever y'all got, so if it's MJF, if it's CM Punk, if it's Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre and maybe Sami Zayn, because those are the promos that probably most of us just remember the most, right? To me, what tips the scale for Drew McIntyre, and this was all ring promo, when he came out there, when Sheamus first came back, and he said it used to be banger after banger after banger, but now it looks like it's been burger after burger after burger. And he broke Sheamus.
He did.
He broke Sheamus. And Sheamus tried to pick it up and broke again. He was like, yo, you know what? You really get good at this. He gave him a shit live. You know, I was like, yeah, he got it. I was like, I don't know who gonna do what the rest of this year. But that's the promo. Drew McIntyre got it for 2024.
Touche. I still would have won with CM Punk.
I feel you.
But because CM Punk was heating his ass during the whole shit too.
No, facts.
But he was heating CM Punk. Like basically, those two was one and two.
Yeah, for sure.
Two was one and two. I would have gave it but the Sheamus thing, the burger at the burger. All right, you got it. Yeah. Match of the year. This is one that I'm 100% agreeing on. Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson at AEW Dynasty. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of good things out of AEW, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But that match, yeah. Like that match, Daniel Bryanson was like, hey, if I die, this is the match you got to remember me by. Like, and again, you got two people that can have a great match with a broomstick. Mm-hmm. That's the match that when I look at and say, yeah, that's that, y'all won. That was the best match of the year for me. And it wasn't even close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to concede because I didn't see enough of the main events across the board. So I'm just going to concede because I did hear about this match. And I saw the highlights. So I'm not going to act like I'm totally oblivious. But I do what I like to do before picking match of the year, at least like to see every match from every place that should have been one of them ones. And I just didn't see that one. And I didn't see Swerve Daniel Bryanson.
That match, fuck that match. Yeah. Like Brando just said, the only other match this was the only other one. But okay. That match, Danielson, Ospreay match was head and shoulders above that. Okay. That's how great that match was. Okay. Best PLE pay-per-view of the year, WrestleMania 40. I ain't mad at that pick at all.
Yeah.
Best feud storyline of the year, which is why I'm not mad at the promo thing. Mm-hmm. Leaps and bounds of CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Like, they had me thinking they didn't like each other at all. Like, they had me thinking, like, hey, I'll beat y'all ass.
Right.
Like, that was the joint where I was like, yo, grudge matches are back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, for sure. And not for nothing, this is the only storyline that hadn't been for a title, but about the title. And it was top three, not three, all year, as far as storylines go. So, yeah, I commend those guys for the work. Just for it to start kind of like at Royal Rumble, them both wanting to win to be at WrestleMania. It don't happen for both of them, whether they were got screwed or they got injured, but they really kept that shit going. Dare I say, every time they got on the bill, they were more important than Cody every single time. and Gunther just catches strays, but Gunther's so great that we ignore it. But like, yeah, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, that was the only story that mattered this year from start to finish. So I got to give it up to them.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing else. But yeah, shouts out to them. Now, I'm going to add another award in here. Okay. I'm going to add another joint in here. Biggest disappointment in 2024 for you?
I hate to say it like it's so easily, but I was thinking about it. But man, I can't lie, man. Trick Williams.
Mm.
That was my breakthrough star of the year. when we had the tag champs on here and we talked.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying? So I'll go them. I'll go Trick. Even though I kind of saw the fix being in once I seen his and Ross hit around the head. As soon as I seen him kind of square up with everybody on the main roster, Carmelo Hayes. But also because it's just it's just disappointing in general. But hey, man, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, and I know that is probably beyond the control of just wrestling, but yeah, I think for the last 3 years, what we were gearing up to was specifically that group of black wrestlers. It's disappointing to see where we are right now. Sorry.
I was thinking about Melo. I didn't even think about Austin Theory. I see Russ put up that. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about Melo. I was thinking about Trick. But AEW as a whole.
Damn, as a staff, label staff, and an MNF and crew? God, dog.
Yeah.
I understand it, though. I know where you're going, so let's talk.
I thought that this would be the year that AEW takes it up. Mm. I just truly thought that that would be the year. But I can't watch the product no more. Like, I can't watch the product. And I try, because as you know, I love wrestling.
Mm-hmm,
I would watch anything that comes on the goddamn TV that's wrestling. I'm one of those people. But I don't think that AEW took the leap that they should have taken. And I think part of it is because the storylines was convoluted. I think it was just a lot of stuff going on. Like, even like looking now, like Bobby Lashley just beat Swerve ass, but now Swerve throwing tissue at Ricochet. What happened to the Bobby Lashley thing?
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like they move on from things too quickly. MJF does not look like the MJF for the last couple of years. Like, MJF re-signed. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And he came in as a face, or came back as a face, because Adam Cole now is a heel, but then the next week you switched it. I have no fucking clue what is going on when I watch AEW. I am not talking about the wrestling product, because they do give you some good matches. Mm-hmm. Great matches. I just said, yes, Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson, match of the year. It ain't even close. But there is no continuity in the product whatsoever. And it makes it hard to watch, because it makes it hard to keep up. So as much, I'm not one of those people dismantle AEW and all that. I'm not saying that shit at all, because you need all of that shit. But when I look at where MJF is now compared to when MJF came back and announced he re-signed with AEW, shoot to the moon. But let's look at some of the things that I'm going to jot this down. Well, I jotted this down, excuse me, because these are the things that makes me choose AEW as the most disappointing in 2024. The storylines are all over the place. Adam Cole's aura's gone.
Yeah.
MJF aura's gone. The storylines feel like WCW in 1999. And last, and certainly not least, where's the fuck Keith Lee? What did y'all do to Ricochet? He just got there.
Yo, yeah. That needs to be a doc on that.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, man.
y'all have dropped the ball on a number of things to the point where the women's division in AEW used to be the shining light. And that's why Toni Storm is who she is. But she carried that.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Britt Baker? DMD.
Yeah.
Mariah May is fine as hell. And was the perfect, when we talk about the whole thing about putting somebody over, Toni Storm put Mariah May over. But now that Toni Storm is doing what she's doing now to get back, you got her going up against Thunder Rosa in the Texas Death Match or some shit. AEW, to me, is the biggest disappointment of 2024.
Man, when you put it like that, it's hard to disagree with you. Because, and I know somebody mentioned in the comments earlier about the that they've eliminated Rampage. And again, I've never ran a wrestling organization, so I'm not going to act like I know everything. But to me, a lot of what you're saying is all rooted into the business plan. You know what I'm saying? yeah, hey, you know, it's there's value in just building slow, man. You know, I think Tony Khan, much like the IWC, y'all were so thirsty for somebody to compete and take down Vince and the WWE. And that should never be the mission. It should always be creating an alternative. And they could have just went with their Monday night show. And that been it for the past 5 years. That literally could have been it. I think you see better revenue. I think you see better story and character development. I think you see the stars that they got are stars because, I mean, hey, I know that the Performance Center in the WWE, TKO Endeavor, I know that that is a star-making machine. But the people that we loved, respected, and admired should not be falling off this way just because they decided they want to wrestle somewhere else. Like, it shouldn't be that way. So, in totality, when you look at it, I hope, my hope for AEW is that all of these crazy things and this downsizing is just to build back slow.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they need. They need one hit show. They don't need competitive shows and PLEs because they're just not there yet. So, hopefully that happens for them this year.
One thing that made me excited in 2024 is West Side Gunn in Fourth Row.
Facts.
Talked about it on the show once before and went to the event. And shouts out to West Side Gunn, Smoke Dizza. Shouts out to my girl Bree, who sent over the invite. She knew I was coming to a wrestling event. But that made me excited about wrestling from an independent standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've never seen the culture combined with wrestling done better than what Fourth Row did. And it made me want to be in an event so much to where, shout out to my homie Weezo in Atlanta, he went to the Atlanta show and was like, yo, why I never went to a wrestling event before? Like, yo, let me know when the next one's coming. I want to go. That, to me, says a lot about what they've done, that somebody who's never went to a wrestling event went and was like, yo, I want to go back to something. So that was my biggest, the biggest thing that I was excited about in 2024. That's Fourth Row. What you got?
Man, I'm kind of with you in the West Side Gun tip. Pause. But... but you know what, man, I think wildly enough, the most exciting thing for me 2024 in wrestling was life without Vince. And because for all I know, for my time on this earth, I've never known wrestling without him. So, you know, I can't speak to you in depth about territories and his daddy. I can't. That's why I love the first two episodes, or like 2.5 episodes of the doc, the McMahon doc, to begin with. Because I was like, okay, wow, you really educated me on life before you knew you were going to help create Hulkamania and move forward with it. You know, there is something to say for the company that loses its one and only founder, depending on who you're asking, and for what the WWE has been able to do in spite of that the entire time. Pause all of this, but we can see with Shawn Michaels and Triple H and The Rock and even some of the other producers over time that Vince's DNA is going to remain in wrestling. You know, a lot of the things that people know made them superstars, they're using it to help create new superstars. Now, what they do with that remains to be seen. But much like Vince prepared us for, hey, I don't care how many t-shirts you buy or whatever superstar, whoever you came to see, I can make another one of those. And wildly enough, Vince McMahon has succumbed to his own creation. Because with everything that you can say, good or bad, about the WWE in general, you really can't look at 2024 going into 2025 and say, man, you know what they really need to really send it over the top and remain consistent? Call Vince. And that's pretty shocking, but it's also very exciting. Because, man, we're not even sure that the inmates can run a lot of asylums. But we get in the crash course on how the blueprint is still the blueprint. And so far, still ain't missed.
Yeah, this was definitely an interesting year. Very interested to see what happens next with the WWE. There's reports that Money in the Bank might go to two nights, Royal Rumble might go to two nights.
That's OD though.
And
that's,
I think it's fucking OD. Okay.
That's OD.
So I agree with you to a point.
Okay.
Here's the point, and it's not a big one either. It's about how the women do.
Okay.
I don't mind seeing the women's battle royal along with some other main events for the Royal Rumble. I don't mind that. Because I think, honestly, to keep it a buck, I think the Royal Rumble is too short.
Okay.
Like, the Royal Rumble goes too fast for me. I think the only PLE that I don't Ross. Shouts out to Shinsuke, who killing it right now.
US champ.
But the only PLE that I don't mind seeing two nights, and it will be two nights next year, I believe, is the Royal Rumble. Because the Royal Rumble match lasts for an hour. We don't need like Money in the Bank or Backlash, to we don't need all them shits.
Yeah.
But if you are planning on making Money in the Bank the fourth, like the big four outside of like removing Survivor Series, because I think they just killed Survivor Series, in my opinion. You've killed that. I wouldn't mind Money in the Bank being that, because I think Money in the Bank has the potential to being like the King of the Ring. Like, really, really meaning something.
I got you.
But outside of that, if you ain't got no plans on doing that, then fuck it. Leave that shit one night. Royal Rumble should be two nights. That shit, the Royal Rumble, lasts an hour. I'll need 2 hours of that shit on one night. And with the mid-card titles for the women and really being able to spotlight, like, we got to realize, especially for the Royal Rumble, like, they be putting shit on SmackDown and Raw and being like, yo, This is like put all this shits on the PLE. Royal Rumble, that's what you do that for. So before we get out of here, I know we did all of these things, but guarantee, if you could pick a guarantee for 2025, as I make my FanDuel bets, if you can make a guarantee for 2025, what is it?
Guarantee for 2025, I think I'm gonna go with what might look like low-hanging fruit right now, but it just has not happened yet. I think that we're gonna see the new layer to Dominic Mysterio. I think that comes with a title reign. I think that comes with a long-running title reign. And I'm trying to see exactly
what they title pick here.
It's going to be mid-card. So I got him at U.S. champ or Intercontinental champion. Because I think the slow burn with him is very correct. It's very accurate. As much as I think Dominic is over, because nobody can disagree that he's over, he's still not a world champion that I believe in as far as several title reigns, 30, 60, 90, 120 days as champion. I just don't see that for him right now. But what I do see for him is, I mean, hey, they don't really care about the U.S. title. So long as running U.S. a champion ever, he may become in the running for, you know, great Intercontinental champions off the first run. But I do think that, but I've been teasing this all year. So Judgment Day breaking up, but I do see just a lot of highlights for Dominic Mysterio. I think he has established himself as one of the greater super heels in wrestling, period. And he's just kind of tripled down on that. And what better way for him to do it than winning one of those prestigious mid-card titles and taking out some of our favorites, whether we like it or not.
Damn, you took mine.
Australia. Oh, damn.
you took mine. My guarantee was that Dominic Mysterio will have a world title reign.
Oh, wow. Okay. You said world title, though, so you know.
Yeah. That was my guarantee that he would have a world title reign. You got to at this point. Like, you gotta. If I don't give a fuck if it's like the Kane title reign or, matter of fact, I'll switch your guarantee a little bit. Dominic Mysterio in 2025 is going to win Money in the Bank and will become the I'm about to hit a parlay on my shit. Maybe okay. We dropping parlays and shit. Maybe parlay on my shit. So here's the bang parlay for 2025. Jey Uso will become a world champion. He will go over on Gunther at a PLE. Dominic Mysterio will win Money in the Bank. And Dominic Mysterio will go over on Jey Uso, becoming the new WWE champion on SmackDown.
Wow. Hey.
And he would eventually lose it to Finn Balor.
Hey, you got the crazy part. You try to hit the million.
Hey, man, look.
25 hey, times your money, right?
Hey, what did I call Christmas? Hey, what did I call Christmas? Big bet Christmas?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Hey. Big bet. It's all big bets in 2025, G.
Don't use the acronym, but yes, big.
Hey, you can put a parlay. Hey, you can put a $5 parlay down, and you can put a $5 parlay down and extend that bitch and win something.
You know what I'm saying? Prize 25 picks times the money.
Yeah, you know prize picks or something. I just sent. Oh, there's three of them. What two? Sent two of them. We gonna see what happened. I just sent this nigga two of them. I need to win that bitch. I got shit to do in my life. But yeah, nah, Dominic Mixed Leg. There you go. Jey Uso becomes champ. Mm-hmm. He goes over on Gunther. Mm-hmm. Dominic Mysterio wins Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Dominic Mysterio cashes in on Jey Uso, becomes mm-hmm. the champ. Finn Balor defeats Dominic Mysterio, and he becomes the champ. Boom, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
A four-leg parlay there for y'all. Yeah. Four-leg
it's just a four-leg. It's just a four-legger. You know what I'm saying? It's just a four-legger. Now, I know it ain't going to happen. Here's why it's not going to happen. I'm not trying to put John Cena in my shit, all right? Not trying to do that. That's low-hanging fruit, y'all. I want to make this interesting for y'all. It's just low-hanging fruit. But, of course, John Cena going to defeat Gunther for the belt. Now, if Gunther gets the belt back from John Cena.
I mean, hey, look, the parlay is good till December 31st of 2025. So
you right. Hey, if all them bitches happen, I ain't say they happening back to back. Like, I ain't. Right. They just got to happen.
You didn't say the fourth futures week of that's April. Future, you just right. said, yeah.
Futures bet. It's a futures bet.
You know?
That's all. So, go on ahead. Well, look, man, this is the last pod of 2024.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Crazy.
Crazy, man. So we'd like to thank every last one of y'all for holding it down, sure. Jumping on the podcast with a shout out to Scott and company at Barber's Chair for holding us down. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to, again, everybody who be checking out the pod. Man, and it's for a lot of stuff that just went down in 2025, I can say that one of the things that I've enjoyed in 2025 is being consistent at my content. Specifically, this we've been doing this for over 7 years now. So man, I appreciate every last one of y'all from when we was first doing it, when we was doing the call-ins and shit, and Trey was what's up? What? Huh? See, for those who was listening to the pod since day one, Trey was Liam's age.
That's a fact.
Now you got Liam doing the shit that Trey used to do when we do the pod. So if you've listened to this pod since day one, you've literally heard my kids grow up. So I appreciate that. And I'll let Kemp finish it with the rest.
Yeah, man. Hey, because you know what? The thank yous and the gratitude do not stop with just Bang. Also myself, man, we've been at this for a long time, and just simply because we love to do the show. I've loved the progress that we've made over the years. The consistency we've been able to maintain with so many other life things going on. But man, it cannot be said enough that your contribution to the FBC community, it's one of a kind, is greatly appreciated. I think we got the most sucker-free, the most savvy, the most funny, the most inquisitive and intuitive wrestling audience in the entire world. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll be seeing some other comments. I'm not impressed. You know what I'm saying? But hey, I mess with all of y'all though, man. It's been great. The only thing that I would say for 2025 as far as FBC, POD, NEWS is that I would love for a lot of y'all to get this link and be a part of the show, be a part of an episode, like for real. Have you come sit, talk with us, get your thoughts out, and we really really ramp this up while still giving you the content that you all know, appreciate, and we hope that you love every single week. Again, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. We still somebody's number one podcast out there. Shout out to my man LP, you know what I'm saying, out in Indianapolis. I'm thinking about Fuck Johnny Wrestling shirts. Y'all let me know. Is that a thing? We on board with that, what we want to do. But if nothing else though, man, look, man, we appreciate you and we hope to keep the show rocking. And hey, as always, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. And for the last time this year, it is the pick and the VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
I'll take that shirt.